Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Lee Prater will be the speaker at our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to join in that service. This is another opportunity to praise God through the singing of hymns and hearing the Word of God preached. The 3 p.m. church history class and the 4 p.m. discipleship class, both classes will be canceled for the remainder of this month. At our evening worship service, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor will be speaking on Jesus Christ, the burden bearer, from the book of Amos. Last note, our quarterly congregational business meeting has been rescheduled to directly follow this morning's worship service, and all of you are encouraged to attend. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 18, verse 32, and Psalm 28, verse 7. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so now let us begin our worship with hymn number 50, Fairest Lord Jesus. Continue our worship with hymn number 449, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
you stand now as we sing hymn number 464, I Will Praise Him.
Prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come as a congregation before thy presence with words of thanksgivings in our heart because you allow us again to meet and to preach and proclaim Jesus, Lord and Savior of our life. Thank you, Lord, that you are committed to carry your church till that day in which you will come and take us all to your presence. And we will enjoy not only the presence of God, but the gathering of the saints together in that great supper of the Lamb. Father, we are more than delighted because we open the doors here in Morgan Hill in our auditorium, but also the doors of airways, the radio through KKMC. And we pray for those who are listening, especially for those who are shut in home. And as I visit with some of them, they tell me that this is their church and this is the place where they meet the Lord. And we are grateful, Father, for those in San Juan Bautista and Salinas and even in Los Altos who listen to this broadcast. And Father, for those who listen on the internet, they meet across the airwaves in Ohio, in Italy, in Japan, in Maryland, Father, in New York. Thank you, Lord, for those who are listening and they are part of our broadcast. And thank you, Father, for their emails of encouragement to us as we preach the word and praise the Lord and read his word. And Father, we are glad also for those who listen later on in the tape ministry across America. Thank you, Lord, for those families who gather together and worship the Lord through our church service. That's what we are here, to proclaim Jesus, to lift up his name as the choir praise his name, to be a remember of his words as our brother read the scripture. And then, Father, as we break the bread of life, we are encouraged to know that there is a coherent book. There is a book written by God who guide us through whatever in times of comfort that we need it, perhaps in times of joy, perhaps in times of wondering. We don't know who is God and we don't know what God has done. Thank you, Lord, that you wrote the book where everything is there and we can find answers for our life. Now, Father, I'm grateful personally that my wife is back with me. I'm grateful that Midian is stable and things are looking much better than last week. And so, Father, I'm really encouraged today. I preach on encouragement because that was the scheduled sermon and that was your sermon for me last Sunday. Now, Father, this Sunday, I'm just delighted to proclaim the Messiah of Israel through the Old Testament and New Testament, as we will see it in a minute. That Messiah that fulfilled the promise of salvation, that Messiah who is the healer of our soul and the healer of our mind. Father, we are grateful for Judy Blika, who is much better, and she can stand now. We are praying for a full recovery after the surgery. And we have learned that Kara Pythagoras have her surgery, and we pray for her recovery and good news from the doctors on her life. Lord, we have a list of missionaries that we always pray for, those who are proclaiming the word. Fred and Carol Lewis, as they're trying to move from Ukraine to Siberia, a very expensive trip, Father, that we pray that they will be able to make the move so that Fred can start in December teaching in the new school in Siberia. And Father, for Carol and Ruth Knott, as they made their way back next month into Spain, in Sevilla. So we pray that they may find the little assembly waiting for them. And we know that he's a good brother to train elders and to expand the ministry. But Eusebio and Marisa Perez, as they minister in the city of Benalmadena, a city who is full of tourists, but Father, they are open doors to English and Spanish people, and we are thankful for them. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a place of refuge in times of travel. For Ruben and Irene Zacher, as they develop a very massive and a strong ministry on the Spanish people in Lodi, California. For the sport ministry in San Jose, as they face a new era, a new year of working with the young people. There's someone, even playing soccer or whatever, that may find the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For Martha Peretti, as I talked to her and she ministered to the people, she mentioned to me that it was raining. She had to stop a few blocks before the place and carry everything by hand and sitting down and minister to those who are working with their hands, not knowing that as Martha read the scripture and as somebody lead the devotional, the Lord Jesus is going to work in their hearts and some of them going to be saved. And we are grateful, Father. And for Danny, as he needs to minister to those who are on the race. Father, is coming a big one now in October, and he's going to be in Miami, and he's going to be busy. And we pray that he may have a clear mind and an easy heart, knowing that God's going to take care of his support and take care of his wife. Thank you, Father, for Danny and for his faithfulness. And for his tremendous testing time in his life. I know he's going to become strong, loving you more and serving you with all his heart and mind. Now, Father, we are delighted to bring this gospel to many places as we can, because our church have only one thing in mind, to bring Jesus to every person who need it. Now, Lord, your congregation here has been faithful for years, for 20 years. This is our 20th year in the ministry, and they have been faithful in the support of the ministry. And so, Father, I'm as a pastor, I'm grateful to you because you move the heart of your people to support the ministry and to support myself and my family. Thank you, Lord. And so bless the offering and bless the giving. Let today be a very precious day before your presence. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
is good. This is good.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first book of Moses called Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 2. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, that only by your grace we come before your throne to worship and praise you and bring our prayers and petitions to you. Only because of the person and work on our behalf of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider the scripture, we know that we too have been disobedient and have violated your law. But you have given us the gift of faith, and we know that your word is ultimate reality and truth. And we can say we love your law. We pray, Father, for strength as we put off the old man and put on the new one, since we have been cleansed from all unrighteousness by the blood of Christ. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring good tidings to us and to all that listen on audio tape and on CDs and the radio and internet. May you bless the word as it goes out, and that it may fall on good ground and bear fruit. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and I just want to say a few things before the sermon, and one is to first, I thank God that Raquel is back in home, and things are different when your wife is at home, all right? God has been merciful, and I had to retrain, I guess, because we take certain liberties when we are alone, and these do not belong to here, and these do not belong to there, and you do this and the other, and I'm here, and all of this. All right, I know I'm going to enjoy it. And secondly, I want to thank the Lord for Mrs.
Noriel for being for 1 month in and out on Wednesday. Last Wednesday was a gorgeous service. We have a lot of people, and we thank you that you made the effort to come for those who could. And we, and Ms. Noriel was here early, and she helped me in the coordination of hymns and so on. I want to thank the Lord. Let's give a good hand to Ms. Noriel, all right? Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, when we started, we were in the bank building, and Pastor went on vacation. After the second Sunday, he started the church, and then we had to hire somebody and pay somebody to play the piano. And now we have few of them here, and so the Lord has been very merciful to us. We are coming to the conclusion of our series, Remembering Christ. And I told Raquel, she said, where you have been preaching? I said, I preach Remembering Christ. I said, remember to preach Christ in December. Well, we preach Christ every month here. Every Sunday you come here, you will hear a word about Christ. But we come to this special series of remembering certain factors about Christ, and this is the last sermon. As you remember, the first sermon was in June, Remembering Christ's Divine Nature. And then we learn there that Christ is God, that God has manifested himself in a human body by the name Jesus Christ. The second sermon was remembering the human nature of Christ. And we learn that as Christ manifested himself and his nature, he's the high priest. That's what the Bible stated, that we do not need any high priest in our life because he is the high priest. And that's what we remember, learn, that we close our prayers in the name of Christ. That is not a magic name. It's saying to God, this prayer is handled to Christ. And Christ take that prayer into the Holy of Holies. That's the way the Bible works. And you can read the Old Testament from Exodus 28 and the setting of the tabernacle. Then our third sermon was remembering Christ in the Old Testament. And that is remembering Christ as the one who brings comfort. He comforted Abraham, and he comforted Lot. Each time that you have a theophany, the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, remember we study, he comforted. That's why Isaiah said, comfort ye people. And it's a great joy. Now we come to the last of these, remembering Christ. And this is Christ in prophecy. And you will enjoy this because this is one of the sermons that I enjoy most to preach. You can see in a scripture in the Old Testament, and then you will see a parallel scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the two will click together, and you can make notes in your Bible so that you know what this scripture is pointing to. There are about seven things I want to call your attention, and I'm so glad they hook up very early in the broadcast, so I have, again, 7 minutes to preach a little longer. Now, here is what it is. I'm going to bring 7 points of Christ in the Old Testament that they are completely explained in the new one. And so we know that the prophecies about Christ, and the word Christ, again, is the Greek word, for the Hebrew word Messiah, is the Messiah of the Old Testament. Both they fit only one name, the Lord Jesus. All right, number one, Christ to be a human being, as prophesied in the Old Testament. Christ to be a human being. The Messiah is not going to be an angel. The Messiah is not going to be a ghost. The Messiah is going to be a human being. Our brother read the scripture in Genesis 3. I want to call your attention again to verse 15 of Genesis 3. If you look in Genesis 3 and in verse 15, there is a key word there that explains everything about this issue of Christ being a human being. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and in verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, the word seed is singular. There will be one seed of these women. There will be one seed of these women that will be head on with Satan. That's very important. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, you know, many people read this and do not understand that Eve understood this magnificent, in a magnificent way. In chapter 4 of Genesis, the Bible said, and Adam had sexual relationship with Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now, Cain is not a bad name. Cain is, I got the man. God promised, and we don't know the time sequence between the promise of Genesis 3:15 to chapter 4:1. But in chapter 4:1, when Eve conceived, imagine this is the first time a human being is coming through a woman. Eve conceived, she remembered what God said, out of thy seed I will bring salvation. And she said, I got the man. So in Hebrew is Cain. I got the man. All right. Now, the prophecy is that the Messiah is going to be a human being born of a woman. And the fulfillment of that is in the New Testament. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 4, page 886. So let's go over there. Galatians, chapter 4. In verse 4, you have a fulfillment of that prophecy that there will be a seed. Now, here is the seed. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, and it's page 686. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman. Made under the law. So we have a prophecy in the Old Testament that the Messiah is coming out of a woman. That seed, singular seed of Genesis 3:15, is explained in Galatians 4 and in verse 4. The Son of God is coming out of a woman. So therefore, the Messiah is not a ghost. The Messiah is not an angel. The Messiah is the son of a woman. Just exactly as God said. Now, Christ to be a human being is the first prophecy. Number two, Christ or the Messiah to be incarnate God. And we study this in detail, but just in general, to be incarnate God. Go with me to Psalm chapter 2 in the book of Psalms, page 345, in verse 7. The Messiah to be incarnate God. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 2, and in verse 7, the Bible said these words, I will declare the decree, and this is God is speaking, the Lord, you see the word Lord in capital letters, Jehovah has said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten in him. In other words, God is going to be manifested as a son. And in heavens, they have a decree. That means these cannot be changed. Thou art my son, and that is the decree of God. Now, the fulfillment is found in the Gospel of Matthew. If you go to Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 1 of the Gospel, and in verse 23, there you find the fulfillment of God's prophecy. Matthew 1, verse 23, because a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so here you have the prophecy fulfilled, Christ to be incarnate God. In the Old Testament, in heaven, the corporation of God, they made a decision, they made a decree. The CEO, God the Father, made a decree. Today, you will be my son. And that's the way people will see God, through his son. And then Matthew tells us in the birth of Jesus that his name is God with us. And so the fulfillment is placed upon that prophecy. Now, also the Bible tells us that Christ, the Messiah, will be a descendant of Abraham. Let's go back to Genesis again in chapter 12. And look how God talks to Abraham on the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 3 and verse 7. Verse 3. Well, let's read verse 1 to 3 on Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country," and remember he was in Iran, "and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Not verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and of course him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Abraham will have a descendant. Abraham's descendants will come to a point that will be the blessing of the entire earth. Now, this is not a political verse. It has nothing to do with politicians. As you know, the earth was completely divided in a different way than it is today. It had nothing to do with the political aspect of life. It has to be with the spiritual aspect of life. Abraham's descendants will come to a point that out of his descendants will be a blessing that the entire world will be blessed. Let's go back to that book of Galatians in chapter 3, please, to see the fulfillment of this, page 686, Galatians chapter 3. And now let's take a look to verses 8 and to verse 16. We'll read these words in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. If you have the Bible that is in the pew, it's page 686. "And the scripture forescoring that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed." See, that verse of Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, corresponds to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. Remember that in Genesis 12:3, God said, in thee all the nations will be blessed. And so Paul is saying to the church of Galatia, it's true, God is saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Now look in verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He say not, and to seeds as of many, but as to one, and to thy seed, which is" who? "Christ." Now, again, that the singular and plural is very important when you read the document. And to Abraham, in singular, said, "Thy seed will be a blessing." Now, just take a look to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 and see how the gospel starts. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, and you're going to see who is where Jesus come from. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David," the son of who? "Of Abraham." So Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, is the seed, singular, of Abraham. That is remarkable. What is more remarkable is that the Jewish nation is blind to something that they should be proud of. The Savior that can save the world comes from their loins, comes from them. They should be proud as can be that from their race, God has selected a Savior. And they get mad when you tell them. It's just amazing. That proves that unless God opens your eyes, doesn't matter what race you come from, you will not see it unless God in mercy open your eyes. Christ, the Messiah, is to be a descendant of Abraham. And I think as I read Matthew 1:1, I give you a hint of my next point, point number four, that Christ is to be a descendant of David. A descendant of David. And God promised this to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, 13, and 16, page 182. 2 Samuel, please go with me to 2 Samuel in chapter 7. And I'm going to read for you verse 12 and 13. This is the time when David is dying. And now you need to pay attention to the reading carefully, because God sometimes speaks materially things on this earth and spiritually things eternal. And so let's look to the reading. 2 Samuel chapter 7. By the way, when you have any doubts about Jesus, you read 2 Samuel chapter 7 and you will see how clear is that Jesus come from the line of David. Verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, that's the death of David, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, this is a message to David, I will set up thy seed after thee, seed singular, after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. There's no Solomon. Solomon established a kingdom, and he built a house in thee. But then God said forever. Now, when Solomon died, his son made a mess. You know what he did? He raised the taxes. And he raised the taxes so badly that the people went for help to Egypt, and then they split the land. And from that time on, it was a matter of time until the land was destroyed. Now look in verse 16, same chapter 7. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Now, politically, some of the Jewish people are looking to this. And they are looking to this verse as saying, we will dominate the world forever. Based on Romans 4, that God gave Abraham the world. They think that they have a prophecy that they will dominate the world. And I sometimes, and I told my wife, I wonder if this business of America today going to war against Iraq is not America defending Israel to proceed with this dream of getting domination of the world. As you see the names of our President Bush's staff, you see a lot of Jewish descendants, and you never know if they believe deep in their heart that they should dominate the world. But the scripture is not talking about domination temporarily, they say forever. It's talking about spiritual domination. And so the prophecy is clear that a descendant of particular descendant of David, one, will be set on the throne, and he will have dominion forever and ever, and no American and nobody in the world will take it away. Has to be a spiritual. Has to be. Now, the fulfillment of this is in Matthew 21. And so I want to go with you to Matthew 21 in verse 9, and have other scriptures, but I want to look into that. Matthew 21 in verse 1. Now remember, Jesus is a descendant of David, is the descendant of David. Now it's amazing. that the nation of Israel recognized this when Jesus came to Jerusalem. Look with me, Matthew 21 and verse 9, page 575. And the multitude that went before and that follow cry, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Wow. The multitude that follow were looking for the Son of David because they knew the prophecy. They knew that the one that is going to be key to their nation is the Son of David. The only thing is that Israel then, as Israel now, they were looking for a physical king to sit in Israel and make business with everybody and they be rich. That's the only thing Israelis worry about it. We want to be the richest people in the world. They were no spiritual whatsoever because the same multitude stoned Jesus and crucified him. But they recognize in verse 9, the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And I preach on that word, Hosanna. And I tell you, the Jewish people have completely understanding of their prophecy. The only thing is they were looking for a material blessing when God was talking about spiritual blessing. And many times we do that mistake ourselves. I don't blame them. Unless we have the light from heaven that this Bible of ours had nothing to do with my life here. My life here received blessing after blessing. Raz and us, we have a little chat before Sunday school. And today, if you are in Romans 12, you know that the blessing from verses 3, the gift of God, they're all a spiritual gift. Dr. McCormick is a medical doctor, I'm a civil engineer, and somebody else is a mechanical engineer. These are no gifts, these are studies. The spiritual gift that God gave us for comforting others, for preaching the word, for singing and praising God. These are gifts that God gave. And God is always talking about spiritual blessing. What about Ephesians 1:3? You don't have to look on it. God said that God hath blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heaven in him, in Christ. He has given us all kinds of spiritual blessings. And so the fulfillment that Jesus, a descendant of David, the people saw it. I'm amazed that you even can be right about attesting something and be wrong and making the declaration. You make a right declaration, which is right, but your heart is wrong because you make the declaration physically when God means spiritually. That's the key. So Christ is the descendant of David. He comes from David. No doubt about it. The Jewish people of his time knew it. And when they saw him, he said, maybe this guy healed the sick. He resurrected the dead. Man, we got the power. Can you imagine if he becomes king? We got the power of the world. They were looking to this world, and God is looking to the world to come. Eternal life, my friend. People are looking for the temporary blessing when God's talking about the eternal blessing of God. Thank God. The many understand these. Thank God for Jesus who came from David. Now, also Christ is to be a prophet. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, and page 129, and the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 15, chapter 18, in verse 15, Moses is leading the people. He knows that he's going to die. And he tells the people what they should do. Look at what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, page 129, if you follow me with a pew Bible. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice the word prophet in capital. A prophet from the midst of thee. In other words, the prophet will come from Israel. Of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. So Moses prophesied, saying to the people, I go, don't be upset. God's going to raise a speaker, a prophet. God's going to raise somebody who will want to speak to you from God. And you listen to him. And you listen to him. Let's go to Matthew 21, and verse 11. Now, page 575 in your Bible. Now, what do the people say? What do the people say when they saw Jesus? Matthew 21 and verse 11. And the multitude, this is the multitude, they say he's the son of David. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Boy, those people knew scripture. I tell you, those people that were, you know, this is the triumphal, we call it in the Western world, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was a miserable entry, but we call it the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the people were on the sidewalks, like you go to a parade, and they were on the sidewalk, they're just chanting, and they were chanting the right words. They were chanting the right, you are the son of David, you are the prophet of Israel. They were saying the right things, even though they were wrong in their heart. Sometimes people come and sing songs that we sing, and they like it, but they're not in their heart, and that's the problem. So here's what it is. The Bible tells us that Christ was to be a prophet, and here's the people of his time saying Christ is the prophet. Now, Christ is to be the Messiah. Remember, Messiah means the one to come anointed by God. Let's go to Psalm 2 again. Messiah means the one anointed by God, selected by God, blessed by God. Psalm 2 and verse 2, and that will bring you to page 345. We'll read these words. Let me read verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his, now here's the word Messiah in Hebrew, anointed saying. See, in English said the word anointed. In Hebrew said the word Messiah. See, Messiah is somebody who has been oil put in their head and said, now you are the one. That's the word. And so he need to be anointed of God. He need to be decreed by God. He need to be selected by God. And the fulfillment of this is in the Gospel of Mark. There are many passages, but let's go to Mark chapter 8 together. And you will see in verse 27 to 29, page 589. Gospel of Mark in chapter 8. Verse 27 to 29. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do you men say that I am? That's the greatest question, no? That's the greatest question. If I say to you, who do you think Jesus is? That's the greatest question. Now, look at verse 28. And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? It's like Jesus putting the finger to you. I said, what do you think Jesus is? And look at the answer. And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the anointed one. See the word Christ? That is the same word of Psalm 2, verse 2 at the end. Remember, Psalm 2 ends with the word anointed? Well, here it's in Greek rather than in Hebrew. Remember, the Gospels were written in Greek. And here it's in Greek. And in Greek, you write the word Christ, the anointed one. And so Peter, a fisherman, said, you are the Christ. Thou art the Christ. And you are the anointed one. And so Christ Jesus need to be the Messiah, and he is the Messiah. The prophecy said they need to be the Messiah, and it is the Messiah. The one that I like it more, and you can go on and on and on and never end, but the one that I like it is the Messiah need to be a Savior. Let's go to the beautiful book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse 11, page 440. Isaiah, chapter 62, and verse 11. And is on page 440. The Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 11, behold, the Lord, again capital letters, Jehovah hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, that means the people of Jerusalem, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Amazing. Amazing. Jerusalem had nothing to do with God at this time. Isaiah is prophesying, nobody is listening. He's talking, nobody cares. But he said the message. The Savior is coming. Salvation is coming. Now, the fulfillment is in people who were Gentiles. Look at here, John Gospel, chapter 4. You remember John Gospel, chapter 4, the lady at the well, the Samaritan lady? John Gospel, chapter 4, the verse I'm going to read is verse 42, and that is in page 624. Now, remember the prophecy in Isaiah, the Savior is coming. The Savior is coming. The Savior of our soul is coming. Now, the Jew always thought they were the only ones. Perhaps we are the only ones. And I love John 4 because here's the Samaritan women, archie enemies of the Lord Jesus, half Jew and half Jesus. The race was mixed. I mean, this is a mixed race. This is not a pure race. And they had the Pentateuch still today, the Samaritan Pentateuch, a very good version and so on. And she believed, remember that she believed, that she argued with Jesus. She knew theology. We cannot be saved in this mountain. We have to be saved in the other, and back and forth in theology until Jesus revealed himself. Said, I'm the one. And she believed. And she went home and said, hey, I have found the guy who really can save. Now look in verse 42. And said unto the woman, the people said unto the women, now we believe not because of thy saying, or we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed what? The Messiah, the anointed one. What? The Savior of the Jewish people only. No. That's what you and I are saying. The Savior of the world. The whole world now have the potentiality to be saved. Jesus Christ is not limiting his salvation to the Jewish people. He is the Savior. He is the Savior. And the entire world can come to him. Now, how all this information on prophecy of Christ relate to us? What that means to you and to me? It's just theology that we know? No, no, no. Look, go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, page 652. And here is the Apostle Paul is preaching. And let me read the first three verses. The Apostle Paul is preaching. And look at how he preached. All right? The Bible said in Acts 17, 1 to 3, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of what, gentlemen? Out of the Scripture. Now, that's a way to preach. You reason out of the Scripture. No out of books, no out of anything else. You reason out of the Scripture. Now, look, these people were really open. It's not like this congregation is so kind. Nobody speak to me when I'm talking to you. But look at it in verse 3. Opening and alleging. As he was talking, people were interrupting. that Christ must needs have suffered, the anointed must have been suffered, and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, he is the anointed one. Well, see, the message is the same. Some people said, well, the message, so is there is one message for the Jewish people, and there is one message for the Gentile. Wrong. It's the same message. The anointed one has come. The anointed one have power to save. He is the Savior. So believing that the Lord Jesus is the anointed one comes by reasoning in the Scripture. See that? Come by reasoning in the Scripture. Believing that we need a Savior at the day of judgment comes from the Scripture. You need to reason from the Scripture. And believing that the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ come from the Scripture. Now, people will argue with you. Don't get panicked. Just keep on reasoning from the Scripture. And reasoning from the Scripture. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing? That's right, the Word of God, see? Christ. So we reason. Don't get discouraged. People say, I don't care. Fine. Tomorrow, we reason in the Scripture. And we reason in the Scripture because you know the Messiah has come. You know the anointed is Jesus. And you can pray for those who believe not that they may be illuminated. So now the $4 million question. Now, money is coming so low, the $4 million. I used to say 20 years ago, $4 million question. Now it's not too much, but $4 million question. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe the Scripture or science? I was reading the paper. Where's the paper come on Friday? What's the name? I forgot. Friday. What's the Friday paper, Dr. McCormack? Pinnacles. We were talking in lunch about some science people who wrote over there, include Dr. McCormack. So I got Pinnacles and read the articles. And we tried to argue from the scientific world that this evolution, they are all nuts. And we tried to, they want to argue again. The only thing we have to tell them is Genesis 1:1. Bereshit, Baraha, buried. In the beginning, God created the world. That's all. You say, we don't believe it. Who cares? In the beginning, God created the world. You are crazy. In the beginning, God created the world. Don't move from there because faith come by hearing the Scripture. Oh, people of God, let's encourage ourselves. Yes, we're going to evangelize. You want to tell people about God, but from the Scripture. Father, thank you. Thank you, you have given us a Savior. But more than that, thank you that you have given us thy Word, who has the power, like one of my professors said in seminary 35 years ago, has the power to bring people to life. Oh, bless us as we preach. And as your people witness, bless them so that they may see the power of thy word. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to say, to God be the glory. In Jesus we pray, amen.
When others see with earthly eyes just what they want to see, you will see things that never die. You will know and recognize by simple childlike faith the priceless truth that others will deny. When others say I'm just a man who likes to dream his dreams, when others call a miracle a myth, you'll listen for eternity in moments as they pass and see with spirit eyes what others miss. Upon this rock I build my kingdom, and on this rock shall stand the storms of time upon this rock. If in a simple carpenter you see the Son of God, if you will choose to lose when you could win, if you will give your life away for nothing in return, then you are where my kingdom will begin. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom, upon this rock forever and ever it shall stand, and all the powers of hell itself shall nevermore prevail against it, for Satan's throne is built on sinking sand. Upon this rock I'll build my kingdom, upon this rock forever and ever it shall stand, upon this rock of revelation I'll build a strong and mighty nation, and it shall stand the storms of time upon this rock. I'll build my church upon this rock. Upon this rock.
Amen. Amen. It's true. Will you stand, please, as we pray for the benediction? I want to remind you, if we want to greet each other and come back, we have the quarterly business meeting. Otherwise, the chairman will expel me, all right? Lord, we thank you that Christ Jesus is the Messiah. More than that, we thank you that his kingdom is not temporary for 20 years or 200 years or 300 years. His kingdom is forever and ever, because in a spiritual kingdom is a place where we're going to be. And Father, thank you that we can proclaim that the scriptures contain and reveal in this entirety Jesus as the Messiah. The scriptures are the revelation of God to us. And thank you, Father, that Paul used it in a way to explain that he was the Messiah. Help us with kindness and meekness and a great compassion to explain to others that we believe in Jesus and Jesus alone, because he is the great Messiah. Bless us now as we go to our homes and as we follow in a meeting of administration, and bless our families and bless those men who need jobs, Lord. There are many men who need to secure a job and secure their families. And I pray you may bless them. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.